There are tales that are told many times.
Keep walking.
Yes, grandfather.
Some tales you tell children. Stories that tell them the history of the tribe, what is good to eat, what is not. Cautionary tales.
Keep the sun behind you.
There are the tales the women tell in the private tongue men children are never taught, and older men are too wise to learn. And these tales are not told to men.
Like this?
Yes, like this.
There are the tales the men tell each other in the men's hut at night. Crude, raucous tales of the lizard who lost his male member, or of the Malibayo, the trickster who sold ape dung to King Lion, telling him it was the soul of the moon. There are the tales the whole tribe tell each other at festivals, at feasts. The story of the rock that jumped, of how fire came, a thousand others. Low tales, high tales, tales that are told and heard many, many times. One tale is only ever told once.
The Sandman. In the sand.
Are we close?
We are close.
The old man is shrunken with age. His face is lined. His cheeks are scarred. He does not notice the sting of the sand which the wind blows onto his legs. The young one still feels sore from the circumcision, but he bears it with the pride of his newfound manhood. Each is dressed only in a loincloth. Each carries but one spear. The younger also carries a sheaf of wood. They have walked across the Kalahari Desert for 2 days.
Enough.
When the boy returns to the tribe, he will truly be a man. He will have heard the tale. At nights, he will sleep in the young men's hut.
This is the place.
We rest?
Not yet. Give me the firewood. Now, you must go and find something and bring it back to me. And when you have brought it to me, I will tell you the tale. While you are looking, I will make the fire.
But, Grandfather, what must I find?
You will know it when you find it. Now go, hurry. Night is coming, and I must begin the tale before the sun sets.
All I see is sand and a small rock. There is nothing else. Perhaps I should look under the small rock.
Yes.
Ha! Grandfather, I have found it!
The young man carries a piece of glass. Through it, he can see his grandfather sitting by the fire. It is as big as a cow's heart, and there are patterns in it.
But what is it?
Give it to me.
The old man touches the glass. He remembers fleetingly the time his mother's brother took him out to this place, sent him to find a similar shard of glass. And then he begins to tell the tale.
This glass was once part of a city. If you look around in this place, you will find other pieces like it. It is forbidden to take them from this place. I will tell you of that city, and how it was lost to us. And one day, if you live long enough, you will bring one other out here and tell him the tale. For this is the way it has always been. Each of us hears the tale once in this place, and each of us tells the story once in this place. If Grandmother Death spares us long enough to tell it.
As the sun touches the far horizon, the old man pauses and summons his strength. They have already walked far, and telling this story takes much energy. It must be told correctly, for it must never be forgotten. He holds up the glass in one hand, weighing it, talking to the boy through it.
Listen. This was in the old days, before the white man came, before other tribes came, in the days when all things could talk, in the dawn of time. This place was no desert then. Fertile it was, with many fruit trees and fat, slow animals everywhere, so that hunting was easy. If you simply closed your eyes and threw your spear, why, there would be something good to eat on the end of it. In this place where we now sit, there was a city. It was a city built of glass, a city that spread out farther than a man could walk in a day. For this is the place that the first people began, and the first people were our tribe.
Our tribe?
That is our secret. And we never tell outsiders, for they would kill us if they knew. But it is the truth. So, this glass was once part of a city. And in that city, there ruled a queen. She was called Nada. And by the time she reached her 16th year, she was the most beautiful woman the sun had ever seen in his travels across the sky.
Lady, have you decided?
I have.
And she ruled wisely, and she ruled well. And when she said,
"Do it,"
then it was done.
Lady, your bath is ready.
Thank you. You may all leave me now.
But she had no man.
Lady, are you not lonely up in your chamber all alone?
Would you not prefer company? If not us, a man.
For when the women of the tribe would say to her that she should take a husband, she would turn to them and say,
"Where then is the man for me?"
And the women would all fall silent.
She could not find one?
Hush now, and listen. One day, a stranger came to the city. Tall he was, and his skin was darker than yours or mine. Flames danced in the blackness of his robe, and his eyes were stars in deep pools of dark water.
Stop! What is your business here? Oh, pass, friend.
And he said nothing to any man. But that night, he came to the foot of the queen's tower, for the houses of that city rose into the sky, and he looked up. And Nada looked out of her window, and she saw him below her, and her heart was stolen away. That night, the queen did not sleep.
Who was he?
Shh. When morning came, she ordered that the stranger be brought to her.
Lady.
Where is he?
Forgive me.
But the stranger was nowhere to be found in the city. The queen ordered that the men go out and find him.
Look harder. Go further. All of you. Go.
And they hunted in the forests and on the mountains and in the deserts, but they could not find the man. And Nada wept inside, for she knew she had found her love and lost him. She went into the forest until she found the king of the birds, and she told the king of the birds her story.
The king of the birds? They have a king?
His kind no longer walk the earth.
But they could fly too?
They are great birds still, who do not trouble themselves to fly. And he was one of the oldest and largest of their ancestors.
What did he say?
And I have lost him and cannot find him.
Be he man or be he god.
For in those days, the gods still walked the earth and wore flesh, and they made their homes in the hot lands of the north.
I will find him for you, Nada. For are we not kings and queens together?
And the great bird summoned all the birds of the air to his throne, and he demanded of all of them,
have you seen this man?
And each bird said no, until it seemed that there were no birds left. But there was one bird, a white weaver bird, so tiny they had overlooked it.
Little weaver bird,
said the bird king,
have you seen this man?
The little bird nodded. She had seen the man late one night beneath the moon. He had smiled at her and given her grain to eat. Then he had vanished. The bird king nodded.
So, this is no man, no god, but something else. Forget him, Nada. Find a breathing man, made of blood and bone and flesh and skin. This other can never be yours.
And Nada lowered her head, and she left that place. And she walked to the river, but the weaver bird followed her. And the weaver bird said to her,
I have heard that there is a tree that grows on the mountains of the sun. And on that tree grows berries of flame. And if a human were to swallow a berry from the tree, it would take them to the side of their true love.
How am I to get a berry from that tree?
Nada asked the weaver bird. And the little bird said, I will fetch it for you. The little bird flew up into the sky.
Where did it go?
It flew so high, it vanished from sight, while the queen waited below. For a day she waited, and at the end of the day, she saw a tiny speck in the sky above her. But she did not recognize it.
Where was the weaver bird?
It was the weaver bird. But it had been burnt a deep brown by the heat of the sun. And in its beak, it carried a berry from the trees that grow in the mountains of the sun.
You found it. But you have been burned.
That is why, to this day, the weaver bird is brown. The weaver bird dropped the flaming berry of the sun tree on the ground in front of Nada. And the queen picked up the weaver bird and said to it,
for what you have done, no one of this land will ever harm you or your kind, little bird.
So it is forbidden to eat weaver bird flesh or to harm a weaver bird.
And that is why we let them weave their nests in our villages.
Yes. So Nada went back to her palace, and she went to her room, and she swallowed the fire berry, though it seared her throat. And she fell down as if in a deep sleep. And her soul was pulled out of her, and her spirit went walking.
What is this place?
It seemed to her that she was in a darkened world full of mists and cold air. And there came close to her two men, two brothers.
I gave what I could.
Call that a gift? A gift? You miserable good-for-nothing excuse for a brother.
And they were arguing about a sacrifice they had given, for one of the men had given meat, and the other had given fruit, and they began to fight.
Cain, please!
You don't deserve to live!
Put the rock down!
Presently, one brother killed the other and walked on down the road.
Useless crawling worm!
Then she said to the brother who was dead,
"What is this place?"
This is the dreaming lady.
How could he speak? He's dead.
Hush! Listen.
This is the realm of sleep and dream, ruled by Kaikul, the lord of dreams. That house is his house.
And he pointed, and she saw the castle of the lord of dreams. Entwined around its gates were the creatures which guarded it. She walked up to the house and went into it. The guardians let her pass because they could feel the flaming berry inside her. She entered the throne room and she saw Kaikul, the dream lord, on his throne, and upon his head was a great helmet made of the skull of some strange animal, and upon his chest was a bright red stone. And he said to her,
"Who are you? Why have you come here?"
"I seek a stranger, for I love him. Flames dance in the blackness of his robe, and his eyes are stars in pools of deep water. He came to my tower one night and looked up at me, but he said nothing."
At this, Kaikul removed his helmet, and she saw before her the stranger who had stood beneath her house in the city of glass.
"It is I."
And her heart sank within her, for she had confessed her love to one of the endless who are not gods and will never die like gods.
The endless.
In the twin stars of his eyes, she saw he loved her too. Terror seized her heart, and she coughed and coughed until she coughed up the berry of the tree that grows in the mountains of the sun. She coughed it onto the floor of the Dream Lord's throne room. And she awoke to her own room. Standing beside her was the Dream Lord.
"Why did you hunt me?"
he asked her.
"Why do you flee me?"
"I hunted you because I love you more than mortal man has ever been loved by a woman."
And while saying this, she left her tower room and descended to the courtyard, and the Dream Lord followed her.
"And I fled you, because it is not given to mortals to love the endless. Only disaster can follow from it. Disaster for you, disaster for me, disaster for my people."
But Kaikul shook his head.
"Never has one loved me enough to seek me out. Never have I seen another woman I would take for my own. I would marry you, Nada, and make you queen of my dream world, to rule the dreams of all that dream by my side, to be with me forever, never to die as mankind knows death. And this I swear by the ruby on my chest."
And at this, Nada was deathly afraid, for though she loved him, she knew this was not meant to be, and she could not countenance his destruction and hers. For love is no part of the dream world. Love belongs to dream's sibling, desire. And desire is always cruel. So Nada took the form of a gazelle, and she ran until she could run no more. But he came after her as a hunter and slew the gazelle. Then she took on her own form again and ran into the wasteland.
Wait! Wait!
Still, he pursued her.
No! No!
She climbed a high mountain, but he still came on.
Wait!
He wants me to be his bride, so if I give up my virginity, he will not want me.
And she took a sharp rock, and with it, she took her maidenhead. And she spilt her virgin blood on the earth. Where the blood fell, red flowers grew, and she turned. And Kaikul stood there before her.
You know I am now no virgin.
She expected him to leave her be.
I am no mortal man, and I love you as no mortal man could love. What matters your body to me?
And he touched her sex with his hand, and at his touch, she was healed, and the pain left her, and the wound was healed, though her maidenhead was not restored. Then he took her hand, and he drew her into the darkness of his robe, and there, in the flames and the darkness, they made love. All that night they stayed together, and every living thing that dreamed, dreamed that night of her face and of her body and of the warm salt taste of her sweat and her skin. And every living thing that could dream, dreamed of love. When the sun arose that morning and saw the two of them together, it knew that something that was not meant to be had happened.
No!
And a blazing fireball fell from the sun.
No!
It burnt up the city of glass, raising it to the ground, leaving just a desert. Desert strewn with shards of glass, just like this one.
Oh.
From the mountaintop, Nada saw the sun throw down the fireball, saw her city melt, saw her land become a parched wasteland.
This is because of what we did,
she said to the Dream Lord.
And worse will come if I stay by your side.
Then she took him, her lover, by the hand, as lovers do. She pressed herself to him. Then she released his hand, and before he knew what she was about, Nada threw herself off the mountaintop. And her body was dashed to death on the rocks below. And this is also in the tale. And this is the way my mother's brother told this to me, and his father told it to him, and back through uncounted generations. After Nada died, her spirit awoke to itself in the forest on the borders on the realm of death.
Where? Who?
And she knew there was one standing behind her, and she turned, and the Dream Lord was there, and upon his head once more was his helmet.
You hurt me. You could have been my queen. But instead you chose the realm of Grandmother Death.
Nada hung her head low.
Once more, I will offer my love to you. Once more, and that is all. For if you refuse me a third time, I will condemn your soul to eternal pain. So I ask you, sweet love, for the last time, will you be my queen? Answer me,
said Kaikul, the dream lord, to the dead queen.
How can I be your queen?
She asked him.
For my people are no more because of what I did, and my city is a waste.
And she reached out to him, and he to her, and their hands touched.
If I were to stay with you, still darker things would happen. Mortals do not marry the endless, my love. Now, leave me to the realm of Grandmother Death, Dream Lord, and forget me.
And she walked down the sunless road into the realm of Grandmother Death. But he caught up with her.
Wait.
Please.
She begged him.
Do not ask me again to be your bride. For if you ask me, I must refuse you again. And if I do that, you will condemn me to eternal suffering. So leave me, Lord.
But the Dream Lord is a proud one. And for the last time, he asked her to be his bride.
Grandfather, what happened then?
Oh, where is my spear?
Here. Please, tell me.
That is the story. That's all there is. That is the way my uncle told it to me, the way his father told it to him, the way you two must tell it in your turn.
But that is not a real story. It doesn't end properly. What did Nada say when Kaikul asked her for the last time? What happened?
She said no. What else could she say? Here. Take this shard of glass. Put it down somewhere here. Perhaps your son or your grandson will find it when you bring him out here to tell him the tale.
Can I throw it?
Of course. The fire has burnt out and the sun will rise soon. Now we must make our way back to the tribe. You have lost your foreskin and you have heard the tale. That makes you truly a man. Let us go. The tale is over and my bones grow cold.
There is another version of the tale, and that is the tale the women tell each other in their private language that the men children are not taught and that the old men are too wise to learn. And in that version of the tale, perhaps things happened differently. But then, that is a women's tale, and it is never told to men.